coming up on Better Place Project.
But then it goes really, really deep, where sometimes I work with animals and the person hasn't said anything to me. And the animal will turn around to me and say, she is in a very challenging relationship with such and such a person. She's not giving herself enough validation that it is actually a traumatic experience for her to be in. It's having serious impacts on her health and it's creating blocks in her life. I want you to tell her that I know that that is happening, right? Now, because the person hasn't said anything to me about any of this, and I turn around and I say, your dog says, how can they argue with that? Where did I get that information?
Oh my gosh. That people's jaw must hit the floor when you throw that out there, having just met these people. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the beauty of where the animals can open up hearts that have been closed.
Make the world a better place. Make the world.
Hey, hey, I'm Steve Norris. Welcome to Better Place Project, where each week we shine a light on amazing humans from every corner of the planet who are doing extraordinary things to help make the world a better place, including sharing their knowledge with us on how we can be living healthier, happier, more purposeful lives. Welcome to episode 167. Anyone who has ever had a dog will agree that the old expression, a dog is a man's best friend, absolutely holds true. For thousands of years, we have domesticated and welcomed dogs and other pets into our lives. They become a part of our family. We develop deep, meaningful bonds with these loyal companions. Therefore, when they become sick or have been traumatized, we desperately want to heal them. Well, as a professional healer from Ireland, Lisa Tolley has an international practice working with dogs and other species using a multi-layered holistic approach. She gets to the root of their emotional or physical problems to bring lasting healing using natural botanicals so they can live longer and stronger by your side. But one of the more surprising twists that Lisa discovered in this work is that through healing these animals, she also ends up healing their people too. As she states, it's almost like the animals are the missing key to unlock their hearts that may have been shut down. So today, we're going to do a holistic healing deep dive. We're going to learn how we can tap into our pet's innate wisdom, the insights we can learn from our pets about our personal blind spots, connecting with our pets that have passed on, the power of animals to heal us, and so much more. So whether you have a pet or not, I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. I found it to be pretty darn fascinating. So let's get to it. My conversation with Lisa Tolley.
Make the world a better place. Make the world.
Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Steve. I'm very excited to be here.
Excited to have you. I think you're our second guest from Ireland, and I understand you're just outside of Dublin, correct?
Yeah, I actually live in the Wicklow Mountains. It's pretty beautiful up here.
Ooh, that sounds amazing. So that's what, within, what, about an hour of Dublin, I guess, outside?
Yeah,
a couple hours?
Yeah, no, even just under an hour. So it's the best of both worlds. You're near the city, but you're also living quite rural.
Nice. Well, I love, our listeners can't see this, but I'll post a little snippet on social media, but I love your wood ceilings. It looks so rustic and it seems like you're out in nature, out in the cabin or in the woods or something. I love it.
Yeah, it's actually an old converted barn from the 1800s. So the animals used
no
to live.
Way.
Yeah, I live in where the animals used to live. It's amazing.
How cool is that? That's awesome. Okay, so let's start. Now, I understand you come from a science background originally and that you used to work in pharma. So can you give us a brief kind of how did you go from that? And were you an animal lover as a child? So maybe give us an update on that. But how did you go then from the science background and eventually migrate towards the work that you're doing today?
Yeah, so I absolutely loved animals as a young child. I would bring home sick seagulls and pigeons to my mum's dismay. And and I always wanted to, you know, you have that dream, I want to be a vet one day. And when I was in school, I worked in a vet's for 2 years just to get a feel for it as my part-time job. And I was really into it. So, but unfortunately in Ireland, to get veterinary medicine, it's the highest points out of every single course because there's so few places. So you literally have to get top, beyond top marks, which I didn't get. Yeah. So I ended up studying science. That's what you do, you know. I thought I'll do a science degree anyway. And I studied chemistry and biology, which then naturally led me into the world of pharmaceuticals, because I was able to converse with doctors and sell to them using clinical trial data, you know, because that's what I had been trained to do. And it was a very interesting world to be in, because I learned what it's like to be, I suppose, in the polar opposite of where I am now. I learned to be in a world that's very clinical, that's very factual based, very left brain based.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. Like,
science could not be more, you know, you know, left brain as opposed to kind of the creative animal healing right brain world that you live in. That's quite the dichotomy.
Yeah, but it got me to where I needed to be, because I got to live in London when I was working in the pharma, and I got to spend time around really incredible teachers. And therefore, my meditation really blossomed and evolved when I was in London. So the more I meditated, the more I didn't fit in with the pharmaceutical culture. And to be honest with you, Steve, on reflection, they managed me out. I got too yappy. and that's when I took, you know, a giant leap of faith into following my true calling in life, where I really wanted to go deep into meditation. And that path eventually made me realize I had a gift with animals. You know, I think the gift was always there, but the meditation just really made me aware of how deep I could sense into animals and feel into what they needed.
Wow. So was there like an epiphany or any given moment, or was it just over time? So in other words, can you describe for us in like a meditation session, what then drove your consciousness towards animals?
Yeah, so I think the first thing that happened actually is the animals sparked it in me even before the meditation. You know, I'll backtrack a little bit in my story, where I was living in the rainforest in Bolivia for a year, and I was working in the wildlife sanctuary. And there I was working with a jungle cat called Millie. She's an ocelot. So I'd spend day in, day out in the jungle with her, walking through the jungle with her, because she was semi-wild. You know, she was rehabilitated to the point that she could stay with us, but not enough that she could be released. And I had finished my science degree at this point, and living in that nature, I think, put me on the trajectory to be able to meditate to the level I can today. I wasn't meditating at that point, but being submersed in that level of the natural world, it woke up a vibration within me that I didn't really recognize until I was several years older, that it started to awaken almost my Kundalini energy. And I didn't really know what was happening. And I was with Millie one day in the jungle, where the moment I realized how I could connect with animals, this was the light bulb moment for me, because we were walking through the path and I would let go of her lead and she would just go off and come back, climb a tree, catch a bat, do whatever she wanted to do. And one day we were just chilling out and sitting there, and a troop of monkeys started to jump across the canopy. And they were a part of the wildlife sanctuary that we were in. So they didn't really have a fear of humans, but a lot of them had a trauma with humans. So they could be actually quite dangerous. If they don't like you, you look like someone that harmed them, they could jump on you and bite you, right? Wow. So I was quite afraid of the monkeys, I'll be honest with you. And I just sat there, and there was about 30 of them coming across the canopy. And I was sitting there with Millie just going, oh, here we go. And I just thought, okay, we'll just wait, because we were far in the jungle at this point. And I just said, we'll wait and just see if they move away. And Millie was sitting beside me, and she was loose, but they just kept coming closer, Steve. They just kept leaping closer. And I just got to a point where I realized these monkeys are coming at us. And I just looked at Millie, and I thought in my head, run. And in that instant, the two of us turned in the exact same direction, the opposite direction to the monkeys, and sprinted off. Now, she was way quicker than me, right? Wow. And by the time I caught up with her, we were just like, oh, you know, we were like panting. And we just had that moment. And I just feel that that was what the animals did. I think the monkeys included, all of them just popped the ability in me in that moment to telepathically communicate with animals and realize that they can pick it up. So that were for me was wow. And then when I actually went on then to develop a serious meditation practice, it built on that moment. So that when I sat down one day to consciously communicate with an animal using the methods of animal communication, which tap into telepathy, the meditation practice meant I could just drop into it straight away. And I was getting accurate answers from the very first animal I connected in with.
Wow. I want to share a little bit of something with you that you were actually referred to me by somebody that I have a tremendous amount of respect for. And our listeners know Hema Vyas, UK psychologist out of London, who's just an amazing human being. And so that, of course, you know, when she referred me to you, I thought, okay, I need to learn more about Lisa and her work. But it was interesting at the time, and I haven't told you this yet, that she referred you to me, which was a month or so back. I was just finishing up an online course with Mind Valley. And I don't know if you're familiar with Mind Valley, but he's very into meditation. And I had read a few months back, well, actually about a year ago, Jose Silva's book, The Silva Method. And one of the things he teaches is, you know, deep meditation, but they then also teach you to go to a meditation level where you then penetrate and go inside. You start with going inside a wall in your house. I know this all sounds crazy to a lot of people out there, but then you go into a plant and you pay attention to the senses, the feels, the sounds, the temperature. And then the next step is into an animal and a dog or a cat. And I did it with a dog at first, and it was a completely mind-blowing experience because I was even still somewhat doubtful, but I thought I'm going to keep an open mind to this. And since I don't currently have a pet, I've been kind of mobile and traveling over the last few years. So I don't have a pet. It says to think of a pet. And I just closed my eyes and started meditating. And then I felt the call to look out my window to the right. And in the middle of this meditation, the second I turned out, there was a dog outside my window. Wow. And so I thought, okay, this is meant to be. And I visualized feeling that dog and entering that dog. And all of a sudden, you know, and I'm thinking, is this my imagination? But I'm smelling the moisture of the grass and the dirt and the, you know, and everything. And I just closed my eyes and went back into my meditation. And then all of a sudden, I smelled like a aluminum, kind of rusty aluminum, you know, kind of a non-natural smell. And I opened my eyes and I looked, and he had walked about 50 feet and he was smelling a fence. And that was what the mind-blowing experience for me. And that what he teaches is that we all we all have this ability inside of us. We're all born with this intuition, with this, and if we practice it, like you said, and you discovered it when you started going into this deep meditation, then it can come up in all of us. And it sounded like it did very quickly for you.
Oh, absolutely. I think everybody has the ability to connect in on some level to the animal, Steve, in this way, because it's something we're all born with. You know, babies are highly telepathic, just like the exactly. animals are, you know, and we start talking and we lose it, it goes asleep. But in the animal nation, it doesn't go asleep. They remain highly telepathic. So as a meditator, you quieten the mind down enough that you can just tune into that radio station. And that dog was your absolute teacher. I mean, what a beautiful soul to come in and be there for you and show you what's possible.
Isn't that crazy? Whereas even a year ago, if I were to listen to this podcast, I would have said, that guy is nuts. And, you know, so, and maybe some of our listeners out there saying, both of these two are just woo-woo kooks. But all I have to say is go to the stillness and practice it. I have been kind of an on and off meditator my whole life, but I have been consistent for 2 years. I have not missed a day. And it is a practice. The more you do it, the better you get at it, the more you are able to you know, go into that deep, deep level of consciousness. So it's so powerful. But okay, so let's move on. I want to get to some of the work that you do to actually heal animals. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, I want to tease everyone with something that you had brought to my attention that surprised you in doing this work. And that is the power of animals to heal their people. And you wrote an email to me where I work with natural botanicals to help them mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. But one of the more surprising twists in this work is through healing the animals, I also end up healing their people too. It's almost like the animals are the missing key to unlock their hearts that may have been shut down. So the botanicals the animals bring in for themselves end up being exactly what their person needs too. In fact, screw it. Let's just jump right to that real quick. Because I think that's so, so powerful. Can you unpack that a little bit and maybe share some stories of where you've seen where you're clearly doing the work to help an animal heal, but where it made a difference in the human's life as well?
Yeah. So on a surface level, you can look at that in a pretty simple way where a dog might have irritable bowel disease. And when you're taking the case with the person, it turns out that they have irritable bowel disease, right? So the dog might be quite anxious. Oh, it happens all the time. Turns out the person's quite anxious. Or, Steve, sometimes what happens is the animal is expressing a physical condition that is not yet manifest in the human, but the emotional pattern's there. So let me break that down. Say, for example, you have a person that's carrying a lot of grief, okay, and the grief affects the lungs. And sure enough, the animal develops lung cancer, okay, wow. Or some kind of a breathing disorder. And they get in touch with me to work with the animal. Now, I work in conjunction with holistic vets on serious cases like that. But they're saying, oh, will you heal the cat with the lung cancer or do what you can? And you dig around a little bit and you say, well, what kind of grief has been going on in your life and what kind of grief has been going on in the cat's life as well? And the story always comes out where something has happened. Oh, they lost their parents and then they lost their other cat. And then, you know, there's just this pattern. So they end up at this place. But where it gets really interesting then is when I work with the animals, I work remotely through photos. So with a pendulum, they can show me what botanicals they need in order to heal. So I could be using diluted essential oils or hydrazols, flower essences, herbs, supplements, diet tweaks. It's all, you know, whatever they need, we make it happen. But there's one process that I use, which is flower essence. It's a technique where you use the Bach essences and you select them in a certain order, 1, 2, 3. And based on the order that they're selected, it actually paints an emotional story. All right. It's a very specific technique that I learned. And I started using it. It was created for people, but I started using it for the animals. I said, will you select your own 3 Bach essences and you tell me the story? But then the animals took it to the next level and they're like, well, actually, I want to select it for my person. So they would select three essences in a row that paints a picture. And I turn around to the person and I say, okay, so your animal has selected this mix and this is the emotional pattern it heals. Does that resonate with you for you? And they're just wow. Like, yeah, I have never, ever, ever had any person say, no, it doesn't resonate. No, it's not me. No, it's not where I'm at.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So let's pause there for a moment. So when you say that animal selected that, what is the process? What is the process there that you present? How do you present the botanicals to them, and what? How are you receiving their decisions? Mm.
So first of all, what I'm working through photographs. So I could be working with a cat in California where you are, I'll first of all I'll actually assess how the energy flow is in their body through the meridian system in Chinese medicine. So by dousing a chart that has all the meridians on it, the cat will show me what meridians are out of balance. Okay. Wow. And then the cat will show me again with the pendulum, what's the number one meridian they need to work on now that will bring the rest of the meridians, the rest of the organs back into balance? Where is their priority? And when they've done that, then I say to them, okay, so what botanicals do you want me to work on your stomach meridian? What do you want? Do you want essential oils? Do you want flower essence? Whatever. And they'll select that, which one they want. And then we'll break it down into, well, what actual oil do you need? What combination of oils or what combinations of essences? So it's a stackable process. And what happens is at the end of it, you come out with an extremely tailored short list of botanicals that the animal needs for themselves, for their person, or they'll actually heal the other animals in the house as well. And to give you a story, like I was working on a little dog there last week, and he's a senior doggo and he has heart problems going on at the moment. And he selected the 3 essence mix for his person. And I did a follow-up video call with her and we were talking about the dog. And she just goes, Lisa, I just want to say, because sometimes people will share about their mix or they won't. So I don't push it, I just I let the animal magic just work. But she actually said it to me. She just said, you know what, in work, there's this really stressful situation where one of my colleagues is into drama, and you get pulled in, And she just said, ever since I started the drops that my dog selected for me, it's like there's just this cutting. There's a separation between me and that whirlwind. And she said, I'm able to observe it, watch it, and not get hooked into it. And she goes, will he select another set of drops for me? And she goes, they're nearly finished. Can I keep going?
That's awesome. So let's go on then back to what you actually do for the dogs. And if we could go through a few of these that you list out on your website. Moving past traumas, phobias, and fears. Mm. What approach do you take for a dog that has had some past trauma or is fearful or skittish or what have you, or cats or birds or what have you?
Yeah. So for them, it could be the type of a dog or an animal that has been like a rescue, right? So they have maybe some kind of history there that you don't know. Or it can be even a young pup that you know their full history. They've always had a balanced life, but they seem to be very, very suffering a lot from separation anxiety. So there's kind of two patterns you'd look at. You look at, first of all, for the rescue, you would use botanicals that go back to their earlier formative years. Okay. Mm. So there's certain botanicals that I know have the magic to do that. One of them would be the incredible essential oil called Angelica root. And I don't recommend people use essential oils with their animal without proper training and without a proper professional to show you how to do it, because you can, you know, you can make a mess of things by using essential oils wrong.
Really?
Yeah, you can. But when you use, yeah, when you use them right, holy moly. So, I had this horse that was, when he was being born, his mother died. Okay. So he was always a very nervous animal. He never had that support from a young age. And when it came to actually learning, you know, he's 4 years old, they wanted to back him and start to ride him. He was sent to a training center to do that. But within the first day, he was so dangerous that they refused to ride him. They said that, you know, our lives aren't worth trying to get on that horse's back, you know. So I was called in. And I knew, because he had that trauma with losing his mom, I knew he was also a water element type in Chinese medicine, and they have a lot of fear. Okay. They will run through you with fear because they don't see you. So you have to really, you know, be aware when you're working with a water element type. So for him, I respected his space. I stood outside the stable. And I held open the bottle of Angelica root because I knew that oil will go back to his formative days, weeks and months, and bring him to me, bring him into this moment. And by the end of the session, I had put some of the oil on my hand and I held it up, and he was rubbing his head on my hand for ages. And his guardians were just flabbergasted. They were like, "How did you do that?" And I just said, the oil and the space we created with our heart energy together made it safe for him to trust me to go into that healing place with the oil. And then I left the oil with his person, and he just got stronger and stronger. And now she's riding him no problem, and he's having a great life. Yeah.
What a beautiful story. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And some of the other ones that you list, transforming aggression and challenging behaviors into joyful, inclusive living. Do you treat that type of thing also with essential oils, or?
Yeah. So, well, with a dog that's particularly aggressive, like, I'll give you an example. There was another dog I was working on that would suddenly go for people. Like, his guardian was at home in the kitchen, and there was a friend there, and the dog jumped over the guardian and bit her friend in the face. That kind of aggression, you know, and he would just really switch. Okay, so when they're doing that kind of stuff, he's fine. Woman, next minute, it's like it's a different dog. So when I'm looking at that, yes, I will use essential oils, but I'll also get blood tests done. Okay, I'll get the vets to run bloods, or if the vets have already run bloods, I'll look at them and I'll assess them using my Chinese medicine principles. Again, I'll look at the meridians, I'll see what's out of balance, and then I'll compare that with the bloods. I'll see what the organs are doing, what the liver's doing, what the spleen pancreas is doing, all this kind of stuff. So with this particular dog, and looking at the glucose levels, I was able to see he was actually having sugar drops. Okay, he was hypoglycemic.
Wow.
So he was only getting fed twice a day. We put him straight away on smaller meals four times a day. Okay, so his blood sugars aren't dropping. We start to support him with the botanicals. He didn't get essential oils because his liver was too taxed. So I gave him something called hydrazols, which are softer versions. They're gentler. And then he can interact with them because the liver can handle them better. So you're treating this type of a problem on the physical imbalance with the organs that have gone out of balance, but you're also treating the emotional side. You're calming the animal. And the oils work on everything. We changed his diet. We added in supplements. So you start to bring this animal back into balance. And, you know, Steve, you change the trajectory of their life. If you can catch stuff at that point, You keep them on this earth for longer because you're starting to heal stuff from the root cause. You know, that dog was physically out of balance, but not enough that it would flag something up to bring him to the vets to. Okay, it's starting in behavioral changes. So you go a little bit deeper.
What I love about that story, Lisa, is what a beautiful example of you combining. I'm hearing that and I'm thinking it was no accident that you had a detour into the science world, you know, because what a beautiful example of you using your background in science, you know, to and doing the blood work and the analysis and all the, you know, left brain, you know, part to help solve this problem along with your, you know, creative side. That's just awesome.
Yeah. You know, the universe had a plan, Steve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We don't always understand, you know, why at the time, but like there's a glaring example of, you know, you having both those sides of the spectrum in experience and training is just invaluable. And there's a glaring example of that. So you talk about when you're working with animals that we are tapping into their innate wisdom. Can you unpack that a little bit for us?
So for me, I believe animals are light years ahead of us.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I do agree that we can learn so much from animals in nature, for sure. Animals in nature and animals in our home, of course.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a huge part of that is that they're very present, right? So an animal's not really going to be worried about paying about the mortgage. Okay. But they may be worried about something in the past, a trauma repeating itself. But other than that, they're pretty much in the moment. And therefore, they're reading us like a book. So if you're working on your laptop too long, you know, and the cat starts jumping up on the laptop or the dog starts barking because you've been on it too long and they actually want you to take a break. Okay. And do something that's, you know, better for you. So that's on a real kind of surface level stuff. But then it goes really, really deep where sometimes I work with animals and the person hasn't said anything to me. And the animal will turn around to me and say, she is in a very challenging relationship with such and such a person. She's not giving herself enough validation that it is actually a traumatic experience for her to be in. It's having serious impacts on her health and it's creating blocks in her life. I want you to tell her that I know that that is happening, right? Now, because the person hasn't said anything to me about any of this, and I turn around and I say, your dog says, how can they argue with that? Where did I get that information
from? Oh my gosh, that people's jaw must hit the floor when you throw that out there, having just met these people. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the beauty of where the animals can open up hearts that have been closed, right? Because we don't actually close our hearts down to animals. I don't believe genuine animal lovers do because they're so unconditional in their love that we are 100% ourselves around them 24/7. So therefore, our guard is never up. So when an insight like that comes from an animal, it goes right into that open heart space and the person just goes, wow, I need to look at this. You know,
and, so. And what you said there was just, you know, so spot on that animals are, they can definitely teach us how to just be present because they are in the present moment all the time. As Eckhart Tolle says, if you ask a cow what time it is, he's going to say it's now. And one of my heroes in the meditation world is David G. And he's a big believer in meditate with your pets. And I think for all the reasons that you mentioned, Lisa, when you talk about that the human is anxious, the pet is anxious. if the pet is you know, has you know, disease, chances are the human, I mean, we do kind of tend to, our energies will gravitate towards each other. So I'm assuming, is that something that you recommend also, is meditate with your pet? So both your nervous systems are, in fact, generally the pet is usually already in that relaxed state, but it's us that needs to get there with them. And I guess maybe the reason why he says to do that is also that, and I'm just thinking out loud here, so correct me where I'm off, is it that we are comfortable with our pet on our lap or sitting next to us or what have you, so that helps us get to a meditative state, and then we are kind of in that state together? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I get people to meditate with their animal friends all the time. I actually run live monthly meditations online where people tune in with their animals beside them. And the reason I encourage that is because, number one, it actually relieves the animal of the responsibility of trying to heal you the whole time, okay, which is what they're doing. They kind of go, oh my God, thank God they're taking, you know, taking action. But also it does heal the animal as well. It deepens your relationship. So if something, you become more in tune with your animal friend. So if they genuinely have a problem or something going on, you just know they're off. And you might take them to the vet that little bit earlier, or you might, you know, connect in with someone like me that little bit earlier, and you catch something before it becomes a real problem in that sense. But they absolutely do help us drop down much deeper as well. Bringing in their energy in a meditative process means you have that extra heart beside you that's beating alongside you and supporting your heart to drop deeper into the meditation.
Yeah, and we even now have scientific, you know, research, you know, showing how powerful a sick person in a hospital room that has a dog come in for just a moment, while they're petting that dog, having a moment with their dog, their blood pressure level drops. They're, you know, it's, dogs can help us heal, and we can help them heal, I think is the underlying moral of this story.
Yeah. And also the other side of it as well, when we meditate with them, Steve, is in the meditations I create, I always like leave a little space in some of them saying, you know, just be open now to a message from your animal. So the way you connected in with that dog who is outside your window, you know, you were able to receive information from that dog. You sense the change of environment, the smell of the fence when he was near that. So when people are meditating with their animal friends, the animals can send them pictures, insights, emotional feelings, even words, and they'd be surprised. And it's a chance for the communication to finally go the other way.
Yeah. You also talk about how animals can provide us insights on our personal blind spots. And I'm assuming the story you just told a moment ago about the dog that said, you know, hey, my owner's got this wacko boyfriend or girlfriend. I know those were your words, but yeah, that's how I heard it. She needs to deal with that crap. So, you know, can you talk a little bit more about how, when we connect with our animals, that they can help us see these blind spots?
Yeah, so that's the concept of animal mirroring. Okay. And that's where the animals will mirror back to us our emotional patterns, our physical conditions, our mental thought processes. So the way they get our attention is they will get a problem that becomes so significant, whether it's on physical, mental or emotional layer, that you then call in somebody like me. Okay. And when I then paint the picture of what actually is going on for the animal, whether it is they have IBD, you have IBD, they get migraines, you get migraines, then what you do is you unpack that. Okay, so say for example, there's a dog that has hearing problems, okay, always getting ear infections, right, really struggling with that. I turn around to the person, I say, is there anything going on in your house where people are speaking, excuse me, harsh words to one another. Because ear problems represent not liking what you hear. Right. You add in the fact that they have an ear infection, which is an inflammation, itis, is anger. Okay. So there's more than likely arguments going on or hot words going on in the house. And the dog is getting ear infections because the dog wants to show you that this isn't working. Yeah. So they'll highlight and you're thinking, oh, it's fine. We'll just get on with it. We'll manage. This is the family dynamic. We just have to live with it. All families are like that. And the dog is saying, you're not paying attention to this blind spot. And I'm not going to let go of these ear infections that are driving you mad and costing you loads of money at the vet until you deal with this properly.
Wow, I never even thought of that. Fascinating stuff. You've mentioned in your training that you've worked with a Mongolian shaman. Can you, I mean, that's pretty stinking cool. How did that come about and what did you learn?
So how that came about is every 6 months I have a session with my Irish oracle, a lady that I've been working with for many, many years. And she's an Irish, she just reads what your soul needs. She speaks to your spirit guide. She was born with this gift and she's really, really spot on. So she's almost been like my business coach as well in a way. Wow. She's like, this would, yeah, do this, do that. And it always works out. And she just kept saying to me, Lisa, you're going to go to Mongolia and you're going to work with a shaman. And I was just like, oh, don't be silly, Carmel. How on earth am I going to end up in Mongolia? And then she always forgets what she tells you because she channels, right? So then every 6 months, she'd be like, you know, you're going to go to Mongolia. I said, Carmen, you're always saying that. It's never happening. All right. So then I was doing a talk at a mind, body, spirit festival here in Ireland. And there was a lady in the audience and she comes up to me afterwards. She goes, oh, I want you to work with my dog. And I did. And then we were chatting. She goes, yeah, I had this session here in Ireland with a Mongolian shaman. I was like, what?
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. And I just, you know, I just thought, oh, here, this is it. This is it. Yep. So I followed it and I said to her, you know, when is she coming back? I got in touch with the lady who brings her over because she was actually living in London at that time. So she was coming back and forth to Ireland and doing ceremonies. So I had a session with the shaman here in Ireland and I just said to her, look, I've been told I have to go to Mongolia and work with shamans. Can I come with you? She goes, yeah. So the following year, I went over to her and I spent 2 weeks with her and her extended a network of shamans, and they're all related to one another. And we did many rituals, ceremonies, trainings, and it was a baptism of fire.
Wow.
One I've never experienced ever before in my life. I don't know if I'd even recommend it, but, but it changed me. Yeah.
So what do you, how can you, or is it even, I'm sure it's difficult to even articulate, how did it change you?
I suppose it is very hard to articulate, like, because it caused an awakening in me. That just kept getting stronger and stronger, almost like a spiritual awakening, as if I hadn't had enough of spiritual awakenings by that point. Universe just takes me stronger. So it was almost like a soul evolution, as well as a cleansing, as well as a karmic past life cleansing that they initiated whilst I was there. So when I came home back to Ireland, I had to process all this stuff that was rocketing up. Rocketing up. So that it was almost like I did 10 years worth of work, spiritual work in a year.
Wow.
You know, or probably even more than that because it was going back lifetimes. So I was spat out at the end of the year, just going, oh my God, I'm never doing that again. But don't I feel great?
Wow. What
an
amazing
experience. Don't mess around. Wow. Yeah, they don't mess around. That's why I don't think I'd recommend other people do it, you know.
Duly noted.
Yeah.
I can take the Mongolian shaman off my list for now. So there's a section on your website, the RIP section, that really, really moved me as I flipped through it. And one that especially grabbed my attention was RIP Bjug. Am I pronouncing that right?
Oh, Bjug.
Bjug.
Bjug. It's, yeah, it's Irish for small.
Ah, Bjug. Oh, okay. B-E-A-G. And if I could, I want to read real quickly. And was this your horse?
No. This was one of my clients'
horses.
This
was one of your clients. And this is what your client wrote about her experience with the horse, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She wrote, quote, sent into my life when I least expected it. We were put together to teach each other something. My job was to help him learn to trust and love humans and be there for him to the end. His job was to challenge me to relearn everything about horses, how to handle them better, how to ride better, feed better, and much, much more. Skills I have for a lifetime. Knowledge to help every other horse who comes into my life. I thank Bjug for the time we had together for coming into my heart. There is a hole in my soul at the moment for his physical presence. His spirit will always be with me, reminding me to be a better horsewoman and to listen to the horses in my life. Wow, how beautiful is that?
Yeah.
Well, we've talked a lot about meditation and what it's done in your life. And last night, you have a thing on your website, and I would encourage our listeners to do this, especially if you have a pet. You can provide your email address and you send a free meditation. And it's a healing meditation that you send as a free gift. And it's, gosh, what an 18, 20 minute meditation. And I did it. And wow, was it so powerful. It's been about, 2015. It's been about 8 years since I lost like the most amazing pet I've ever had that was so close. That was the dog for my family throughout, 13 years of my kids' childhood. And that meditation, doing that and connecting with his spirit was just so, so beautiful and so powerful. And the way you do that meditation, Lisa, just, I cannot commend you enough. Because you say a few things and then you just let it be. And it was just such a powerful meditation the way you did it. And so many guided meditations that I participate in, the guide, talks and feels the need to continually talk. And I love how you do it and that you throw it out there. And then you let us just go for a few minutes on that. And it just took me on this beautiful journey. And I want to thank you for it. And I encourage all of our listeners to go get that and download it.
Oh, my God, Steve. I'm so happy. That fills me up.
Yeah.
I'm just absolutely blown away that you had that experience and you have that feedback. And, that's the way I love to create meditations, is just bring people to a point where they can step off and really, really go on a journey with their beloved animals, whether they're still with them now or in spirit. And, it just, that meditation, doing with your dog that passed away 8 years ago, I do it with my cat, Georgie, who passed away, when I miss him. Because I connect with his spirit again and I feel like I've spent time with him.
Beautiful story. Well, I think this is as good a place as ever to wrap this up on this note. And so I will end with our closing question. Lisa, what advice do you have for us and our listeners on how we can help make the world a better place?
Listen to the animals in your life. Okay, because they're really trying to make this world a better place. That's why they get up in the morning time. They're mirroring back to us our stuff in the hope that we'll heal it. And if we can heal ourselves, we don't need to heal nature. we don't need to save nature. Nature will just come back. But nature now is at a point where nature is shouting at us for help. Okay. So the best way I feel to do that is listen to the animals that are in your life, in your home. Start to tune in more to them. Start to tune into the plants and recognize when they need help by being more present to them. And you'll recognize more yourself than when you need help. Because if your dog is upset, chances are you are too. Okay, so I think the animals can guide us.
Beautiful advice, beautiful advice. You can find more about Lisa at animalhealing.ie, and I will put that URL in the episode notes. You can please follow Lisa on Instagram at animalhealinglisatully, L-I-S-A-T-U-L-L-Y, and I will put your Instagram handle in the episode notes. If our listeners would like to work with you to help heal their animal with any issues, you can do this anywhere in the world via Zoom, correct? And they can reach you on the website or Instagram. What's the best way for them to reach you if they'd like to do a session?
Whichever is easiest for them. They can DM me on Instagram or they can jump onto my website and message me there. My DMs are always open either way.
Lisa, you are a beautiful soul. It has been so awesome having you. I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, your knowledge, and your love with us today. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure, Steve. Thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun.
We'll do it again.
Yay.
Special thanks to our producer, Noah Existe, and editor, Joe Tempogo. Our music was written and performed by Algian Importante. Thank you so much for listening. If this podcast brightened your day in any way, please share it with a friend who you think it might resonate with. Subscribe and leave us a rating and review, as that is the single best way to help the show and get the word out to more good humans. For behind-the-scenes info, please visit our website at betterplaceproject.org, where you can even click on the microphone in the lower right-hand corner and leave us a message or just stop by to say hi. And you can follow us on Instagram at betterplaceproj, and you'll find me at Instagram at stevenorrisofficial. Look for small ways to be kind this week, and that will help make the world a better place.
Make the world a better place. Make the world.